That felt good.
Yeah, it was good to get him back in the mix. 4 of 10 over the week. Scored 3 runs, drove 3 in, and hit that home run. That was a big sigh of relief. I'm sure that felt pretty good for him to put it over the wall in right field.
Okay, so look. I think last year there was a moment in time, and you're always looking for when they're back on track. And, you know, I'm always, what signifies the turnaround or that moment that kickstarts a team? We saw it with the Lions a few years ago when they got hot at the end of that season and just carried it over. This team, this Tiger team that we're talking about now, a lot of people talked about the significance of the Little League game when they played at Williamsport in the Little League World Series and came from behind to beat the Yankees and kind of stole the show, really. And that seemed to carry them and jumpstart that team. I wonder if Friday night's game might be that for this team. Because Friday night, that game hung in the balance. There were a couple of really touch-and-go moments. You know, late in the game, you've got the Angels up 1. They're putting together a rally. I think it was top of the 8th, maybe top of the 7th. Looks like they're putting together a rally. They got a runner on first, and Riley Green makes that diving catch, right?
Yep.
And that snuffed out the rally, and then right after that, again, they're trailing, and Matt Vierling hits a 3-run homer. That was Matt Vierling's home run in almost a calendar year, first home run in almost a calendar year. And, you know, between the diving catch and the unlikely home run produced from Matt Vierling, and on a night where Scooble didn't get him deep into a game, I hope and wonder if that's the moment we put a pin in and circle back, that they started to get their mojo back and started to, you know, the adrenaline boost that a team needs. Hey, we're going to be okay. People stop pressing. Let's go. Let's rally from here. And it might be a stretch, but, you know, whoever would have thought the Little League game would have got things going, right? I mean, it just...
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody loves a turning point more than you.
No.
Loves to identify what that is. I don't know if there's ever any turning point. I think you have different points
in
the season. Well, I mean, it is what it is. I think we probably said something similar to that, you know, that a month and a half ago. I don't know.
I'm always looking for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a great moment to see them kind of snap out of it on Friday night instantly, right, with a 3-run homer. But what happened the next day?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're going to win every game, but they won the series.
Well, no, but I mean, that's the point, is that if I'm going to look for a turning point, I want to start something big. Now, maybe it is a start where they go and win 10 of the next 11 games.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, for the short term, I think it's probably way premature.
So
it's
cool. If you want to wait till it's over and then go make the call, I'll do it ahead of time, all right? I'm going to do it ahead of time. That's what I'm putting a pin in and circling back to. Scott will be good at telling you what happened after it happened. So,
well, I'm good at saying that I'm not sure there's always a turning point.
Yeah,
how much everybody wants there to be one, there may not always be one.
You're getting to the Gary Danielson camp who didn't believe in momentum in sports. And I do, and Gary and I used to debate this, and for me it's really about when one moment affects the next. When something happens that makes you play better, feel better, or do the right thing, and you just keep it up, it sort of snowballs, and I'm hoping that's it, but there's no guarantees, of course. I thought that was – I felt like a real emotional win Friday night.
And it was. Yeah. It absolutely was. Did you get dabbed up by Rory or no?
Well, I got a high five.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to make sure. I didn't want you to feel left out.
I don't feel left out.
Okay.
Yes. Made my day, Scott. Made my day.
See?
All right, Champ and Jump.
Turning point in the show.
Champ and Jump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. I will start. My champ is Matt Vierling because that might be a giant inflection point in this season.
And now Matt Vierling's on the IL. My champ is – sorry, I'm putting a pin in that balloon every time.
No, it's okay.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry.
You've got that in you.
My champ is Raheem Morris, the Falcons coach. He was all class on Friday night. And, you know, obviously he's got a big say in what happens. And it was the right decision. And I thought it was great what he did. And Dan Campbell to acknowledge that after the game was awesome as well.
My chump of the weekend is Matt Vierling, and specifically his oblique. Damn it!
My chump are the Cleveland Guardians for adding to my anxiety over the last few weeks. They got the 15-7 record since the break. I'm not happy about that, and I'm hoping they go away soon. But you know, they got it down to five games after Friday night. It's back up to six. Let's hope it climbs.
248-539-9797. Get your champ and chump votes in here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. All right, here's the feedback coming in. Champ Kerry Carpenter, chump the MLB strike zone. That's from Tom in Pontiac.
Strike zone's crazy, right? And it's sometimes it's unfair when you're just looking at the box on TV when they show you that and you see a pitch is in or out and you're like you're convinced that that's the actual strike zone.
Yeah.
Where in actuality it's not, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
To what it should be. But there were some pitches over the weekend in this Tiger series that were absolutely horrendously called on both sides, both against the Angels and for the Angels and against the Tigers and for the Tigers. It was awful.
Dude, the
inconsistency is amazing.
Do you think Scooble thought so? Friday night in that start, when he, like the third pitch of the game.
He was rattled.
He says to the home plate umpire, that's horrible.
You're right.
And I'm like, okay, Tarek, you might be right.
Shut up. We can't
afford you getting kicked out of this game.
No. I mean, like I was starting to have a flashback to when I think it was Nate Robertson got kicked out of a game in Tampa on, like, the second pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't do that. Please don't do that. Relax a little bit. And then, you know, the inning's over, and he's walking towards the dugout, and he shouts something back at the umpire again. I'm like, stop. Stop. But it was awful all weekend long. Ask the Angels if they like the strike zone.
Rick and Ferndale, champ Justin Rose for four birdies in the last five holes and winning in a playoff. Chump Tommy Fleetwood for blowing a two-shot lead with three holes to go. That makes 162 PGA tournaments without a win.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood probably not happy with his performance. And Justin Rose was brilliant down the stretch. J.J. Spawn was very good, got it to the playoff, and I think went three or four playoff holes. This is where, look, golf, whether you like golf or not, if you like golf, this is the part where you kind of love it, where it's starting to get in the playoff mode. You got the top 50 golfers advanced now in this playoff format, and it's kind of interesting. And I'm watching last night on the side of the screen, and you could see they have the standings of where the players are and who needs to move up, who needs to move down. And it added a whole new rooting interest, you know, because I'm no longer worried about who's going to win the tournament. I want Ricky Fowler to make the top 50.
Right.
Is there a way that Jordan Spieth can still make? No, he's out. Definitely out. Damn it. You know, and there's some really good golfers that are not in the top 50 that won't get to play in the playoffs.
Can you guys advise all us Tiger fans what the record at home is on Saturdays? I feel like they've won one, maybe two games all year at home on Saturdays. That's American Sterling Heights. I am unaware. But we'll have to try and see if we can effort that during a commercial break. Let's go to your phone calls. Joe is in Highland and on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope you had a great weekend.
I have a question
for you. I was talking to my son, and he mentioned that during the All-Star game, they're interviewing Riley Green, and he mentioned that he never takes batting practice before games. And then, boom, all of a sudden, he kind of professed what he never does and has a horrible July or, you know, month of hitting. And then come Thursday last week, you know, on their day off, ever since then, he's, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, who's taking batting practice before the games and hitting the ball better? And I just thought it was a little bit of irony.
Wasn't it? He doesn't take batting practice on the field. He took it underneath.
On the field. Okay.
Yeah. And so he said he wanted to start seeing where the baseball was going. He thought that would help him. And
right.
Whatever the fix is, you know, it's funny because you reach a breaking point. You reach a breaking point as
right.
a player. You reach a breaking point as an organization, or you reach a breaking point as a coach where something needs to change. And if that was his breaking point and that truly is a solution, good for him.
Yeah,
you know, it's up to each individual. It's up to each individual to make that decision. Like, some fans say, "Oh, he should have been doing this forever ago." Well, there probably is a reason why he didn't do it forever ago, and he just decided right now is his time.
Well, you know, it's like changing your putting grip. You know, maybe I got to do a claw putt here. Who knows? I'm terrible.
Yeah,
but
yep.
My champ and chump are the Detroit Tigers. Chump, all the Tiger fans last week. Worrying about how bad the Tigers are playing in July, of course, it's terrible to watch, but every other team is dumping. There's only two teams playing really well, Brewers and the Jays. Everybody calm down. We got this. We got this, and we'll just be positive about our team, and positive things will happen.
Well, you know what's funny is, and thank you for the phone call. Look,
The Mets have lost like seven in a row.
I'm not likely to chump fans for how they're feeling. Like, everybody's feelings are their own and they're valid. And so you're certainly welcome to your vote. I was in Canada over the weekend, and I'll have details of that.
Oh, you made it.
I made it there.
And you made it back.
Most importantly, I made it back.
I should have asked you, did you make it back?
No, I didn't. I'm stuck in Canada. And I was talking to a Blue Jay fan. I said, wow, you guys are playing great. And the response was, not really. I mean, lately we've been struggling. And I'm like, four of six. They lost. They like went two and four in their last six or whatever it was. They lost four in a row last week. And
they were like 25 and seven or something.
I know, but it's just perspective.
Yeah.
That here we are talking about that team being one of the hottest in baseball. And that's not quite how the Blue Jay fans saw it. But you just, that's the way it is. It's people, you lock in on your own team and that's what you see and that's what you focus on, and you don't realize everybody else's struggles. I talked to a concerned Blue Jay fan over the weekend, but and as far as, you know,
I hope you're able to talk him off the ledge.
Did not.
Oh.
Didn't even try.
Oh.
As far as, you know, the fans that are panicked or whatever, you can feel however you want. It doesn't affect reality in any way, does it?
No, it does not.
No, it's not like they were instilling confidence. They weren't. They weren't playing well enough to instill confidence. It's okay to be concerned. I guess the question is, you know, because we got clearly feedback last week that people had given up on the team, which is their right. I thought that was premature. I didn't think that was necessary, but some people had given up on a team that still had the best odds to win their division of any team in baseball. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. We got a bunch of them pouring in via ticket text. There is always a chance we'll read yours if you sent one, so stay tuned. To Carson Anderson, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, on Tuesday, August the 26th, that is FanDuel Futures Day. It's kind of a new holiday for football fans. It's 24 hours of deals on your favorite football season predictions. So, like, if you want to, you know, they're going to have deals on these odds, but if you want to take a flyer in an MVP race, I'll give you two guys who have long odds that are right out here in front of us at Lions Camp. 35-1 on Goff to win the MVP. I think it's 75-1 on Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, they're long shots, but you can get really good value on their 24 hours of deals at FanDuel, the FanDuel app. You can do parlays, your division winners, dark horses. Mark your calendars for August the 26th. That is your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit the FanDuel.com app today and start planning your future bets now, because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 years or older and present in Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.